in the last 10 years, the rate of children being diagnosed has been multiplied by 200%. So now 1 in 31 kids statistically, or 2.5% of the population, will be diagnosed. It's huge, huge number of kids. You don't grow out of autism. Why would you grow out of the treatment?
Hi, welcome to Second Wind Women. I'm Karen. On Second Wind Women, we talk with women entrepreneurs who have reached a point in their life where they just said, this isn't working anymore. I'm going to do what I'm passionate about and what I feel called to do. Often in media, you hear a lot about startup culture and it's all about 25-year-old men. But really, the largest growing segment of entrepreneurs is women. So we celebrate these women and bring you their stories of how they made the change in hopes that it'll inspire you to make your own change. Or if you're already an entrepreneur and have your own business, fortify you knowing that other people are doing the same thing. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Second Wind Women. I am here today with Nicole Daher. She's the founder of a business called Success on the Spectrum, also known as SOS. It's the very first autism treatment franchise in the United States, known for its parent viewing rooms and quality-driven ABA services. So welcome, Nicole.
Thank you very much, Ms. Karen. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. First of all, what is ABA services?
ABA therapy stands for Applied Behavior Analysis. It is the number one treatment recommendation for children diagnosed with autism. And it's not the type of therapy where you lay in a chair and tell a shrink all of your woes. It's an actual method of teaching that is nonverbal. So kids that maybe don't have that verbal communication can still learn the skills that they need to help them transition into a typical school classroom.
Wow. So you work just with autistic children?
That's correct. And the majority of ABA therapy clinics across the United States only serve children up to age 6 or 7. After that, they kind of force them into the school system. And my clinic, Success on the Spectrum, is unique because we serve children up to age 18.
Cool. So how did you get into, working with autistic children?
It was kind of by accident, actually. So in 2015, or actually in 2014, I became the stepmother of a child with autism. And I had never been a parent before. I'd never had any experience with children with autism before. But she was in ABA therapy and was doing so well. She learned how to talk. Her diet became less restrictive, started trying new foods. They potty trained her. She used to pinch herself, self-injurious behaviors. When she became frustrated, she stopped doing that. The tantrums reduced. It rocked our world. The therapy is so effective. But at age 7, they graduated her, I say with air quotes, because it feels like, get out. It feels like they kicked her out. And as a mom, you're just like, we've had all this support. You made such good progress, but now you're going to take it away. You don't grow out of autism. Why would you grow out of the treatment? And it upset me. So I founded Success on the Spectrum, honestly, just for her, as a way to make her healthcare like a tax write-off. It wasn't supposed to be this big national company. I kind of tripped and fell into that.
Yeah, wow.
What a happy accident, you know?
I mean, anytime that you end up helping your family and helping a ton of other people, that's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah.
How did you, so you started out though in the scientific field, right?
I was a nuclear medicine technologist before that, but it wasn't related really at all. And that experience didn't really help me.
Nothing.
And I certainly didn't think that I would be going through school to get a nuclear medicine degree, just to throw it all in the trash. It's like the degree's in a closet somewhere in my house. You know, what do I do with it now?
Not very useful. Not very useful.
No.
So how did you actually get this to happen? Were you going out and hiring people who specialized in ABA therapies?
What was the trajectory like between the time that you said, well, I got to make this happen, and for you, like, open up your first, I assume you have a couple of brick and mortar locations.
It was kind of wild. Again, I was working in nuclear medicine. This was only supposed to be a little side thing. I hired a behavior analyst, which is the medical expert over ABA therapy, and her salary was $100,000. And I was like, man, this is a lot. So maybe I can get two or three kids in and we can all split her salary to make sure that all of our kids got what they needed, because all of the other clinics around town either wouldn't accept kids older than 7, or they had a year-long wait list and you were just basically never getting in. So I put it online on Facebook and I said, hey, any other moms out there? I'm hiring an analyst. Who wants to split the cost with me? And I thought two or three kids would really help us break even. 30 people responded within hours. And I went, oh, I'm not the only mama looking for this. And the desperation in these women just broke my heart, because I was experiencing the same rejection from all these clinics. So I didn't want all these people in my house. So, and my husband didn't either. So I opened, I rented a little office space, bought a bunch of toys, went to garage sales and daycare sales and things, got a bunch of stuff. And it was still just going to be a little side thing. Just, I was going to continue working. This analyst was going to run things. I hired a girl to be like an office manager and answer the phones and call me if you'd need me type of thing, because I didn't know anything about this field. But we got more clients and more clients and more clients. And eventually I quit my job and went full steam. I taught myself how to do medical claims, because health insurance reimburses us for our time.
I was going to ask,
There's no classes that teach you how to submit a claim specifically for one thing. There's like a generalized coding class that was unhelpful. So I literally just called insurances, begged them on the phone to help me, tried it, got rejected, tried it again, tried it, a lot of trial and error. And it was a lot of Googling and book reading, but eventually you meet all the right people, you ask all the right questions, and you figure out how to make the business run. And again, it was just supposed to be, I started out with, you know, it was supposed to be a way to spend money, a tax write-off. I wasn't expecting to make money.
Right.
And when it became profitable, I was like, what did I just stumble into?
Whoops. Whoops. So when you're doing medical billing, you're talking about specifically for the SOS clients. Do you have support for parents to do other kinds of like billing for grants and other kinds of support?
There are plenty of local grants and scholarships that parents can apply for, but most of them just pay the co-pays left unpaid by insurance, which is great, because ABA therapy is an essential healthcare service. With all the healthcare reform that Obama did, all insurances cover ABA as a therapy service. So the only thing parents are responsible for are those copay visits. And so the grants make it $0 for parents, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Hello? What? Oh my God, that is amazing.
It is. So most of our clients are under 7 years old. So they do ABA therapy 40 hours a week instead of daycare or instead of preschool. And daycare's expensive.
No.
So putting these special needs kids in ABA is cheaper than daycare. It teaches them a heck of a lot more. And they're getting the life skills, the social skills, the communication skills that they need, with the goal of eventually they should be ready to go to school one day. But we're not going to force them into it before they're ready.
Right. Oh my God, you're blowing my mind right now. I didn't even get this aspect when we first talked. That's incredible. So as children get a little bit older, and do they go to school part-time and then go to the SOS? You know, do you have like support for children who are in school as well?
We do. And not every kid is capable of going to school, but if they are, we want them to. And so they can do a part-time situation where Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they go to school. Tuesday, Thursday, they come to therapy, or we see them after school in home. But for the kids that are a little more severe, that don't speak, what do they get from a classroom? The kids that can speak, that appear to be very normal, but when they become upset, they throw huge tantrums and become aggressive, the schools won't take them. The kids that are not potty trained or can't use the bathroom on their own, the schools won't take them. And so they stay with us. And some kids are capable of going part of the time. Sometimes we can shadow them in the school setting and that's helpful for them. But some kids are so low functioning and so severely autistic that they'll never go to school. And that's okay, because then our goal shifts from helping them transition to teaching them more independent skills. So one day they can have a job and pay their own bills and live on their own instead of, you know, an assisted living facility or some sort of institution. As a mama, you always worry about who's going to take care of my kid when I'm gone. Yeah. And we want these kids to be able to take care of themselves.
Yeah, totally. So how many locations do you have and then how many students?
Are you ready? We have 78 locations open through 20 states, and we have 30 more in development.
Oh my gosh, I have chills. That's incredible.
It's wild.
Wow.
Just a side project.
It's like you were plucked. You were celestially plucked and put in the perfect position, and somehow you were the perfect person to make, or you worked hard to make this happen. It's just incredible.
It's destiny. I didn't seek this out. It came to me and I couldn't escape it. It was just, well, we got to help the kids. You can't not help the kids. And so we got to do this. Well, now we need this. And it just snowballed into this big thing. But I love the progression of it. So it started out with me wanting to help just my kid. Right. And then it morphed to me helping everyone's kids. And as a franchisor, I get to experience the joy of helping these franchisees, these entrepreneurs, these people who didn't know how to do this. I help them find their calling, and right. Now their lives are changed too. So by opening a business that is both profitable and helps people, they find huge job satisfaction. And it just, you know, the love just keeps spreading.
It's like there was a term that was real popular, I think, in the early 2000s called social entrepreneurship. Are you familiar?
Truly, this is what, I mean, so many people have the misconception that helping other people should be a nonprofit or a charity and that you can't make money while doing it. And we surely proved that wrong.
No, that's so incredible.
Hey, it's Karen. As you know, we're all about supporting women entrepreneurs. If you're tired of running Facebook ads that drain your account but don't fill your schedule, reach out to us. We can get your campaign set up right, and you can expect to hear from prospects by message within 72 hours. Email Facebook ads to hello@secondwindwomen.com.
So do you have wait lists to get into your
all of them.
They all do?
And that's a great point that you're making. The reason why this business is so successful is because of the high demand. And I didn't know any of this going into it, but every single year, the CDC releases a new statistic that more and more kids are being diagnosed with autism and, you know, all kinds of theories going around on why and how. But whether the cause is found or not, in the last 10 years, the rate of children being diagnosed has been multiplied by 200%. So now 1 in 31 kids statistically, really? Or 2.5% of the population will be diagnosed. It's huge, huge number of kids. And what's sad is, you know, the rate of diagnosis is increasing so quickly that the number of clinics opening up to treat them, we can't keep pace. Right. So there's this huge disparity where kids don't have access to the care they need, either because clinics are not near them or the ones that are near them have waiting lists 6 months to a year. And the average nationally is about a 9-month wait list. So there's not enough. There's just not enough. And that's why the franchising model was so important to me. I can maybe open one a year if I hustle, but there's only so much of me, so much money, so much time. I can't do this by myself.
Brain power, so much energy. Yeah.
And I would drive myself mad if it was all me. And so we needed everyone to pick up the torch and help me carry it and light the way for all these families.
Yeah, that's a great. I have a very good friend whose son has been diagnosed with autism. And I remember they just moved him from school to school to school, right? Because none of the schools could give him the support that she needed or that he needed. When he had that label, he was able to get much better support, but which of course like evaporated when he got to be too hard to handle, you know, for the districts and such, because there's a lot of needs, you know.
Tons. And I think it's such a blessing that there has been so much change, so much more autism acceptance lately, because autism's been in the media and in the spotlight for a while. Celebrities are coming out. So lots more awareness, lots more acceptance. People used to be embarrassed or shameful of having a child with special needs. You know, nowadays the kids are like bragging about their therapist. It's cool to go to therapy nowadays. So it's no longer anything to be ashamed of. And it's not, you don't want to hide your kid away instead of sending him to school. It's a very open thing where everybody can seek help without the judgment. And that has helped, I think, so many kids tremendously, just that social acceptance. But it's important for us to continue on that journey and for more people to be aware of not only how big the industry is, but how fast-paced it's going to be. And if more entrepreneurs would know about the industry, I think more would be encouraged to open more clinics. And that's what I'm here for.
Right, right. So do you think, just from your like experience in the space, do you think that there actually is more of the population that has autism now? Or you think that just like we're opening up to the diagnosis in a different way than we ever did before?
It's very controversial and you hear so many different things, but my school had 30 kids in my class growing up. And there were two kids in my class that, looking back now, knowing what I know, I'm like, they were kind of weird. Their jokes were off. They would talk to themselves. They would like run from class to class instead of walking. They were just a little bit weird. They had autism. But we didn't have that label 40 years ago. I just gave away my age. They didn't have that label back then. And so do we have more autistic kids because now we can diagnose?
Right.
Maybe. Do we have better, not better, that's mean. Do we have a generation of doctors that learned about autism in school where the older generation of doctors didn't?
Right.
That all plays a factor in how many kids are diagnosed. If you look at the different states, the state of New Jersey has the highest number of diagnosed kids with autism. But if you look at their healthcare system, it covers more. And they were one of the first states to adopt the healthcare reform. So more doctors were diagnosing sooner than, say, here where I am in Texas. So if we had as many doctors or if we had as much funding, would it be the same? And nobody can answer these questions because you just don't know.
Right. And then you also have the whole aspect of, you know, how insurance controls the diagnoses that doctors are allowed to give.
Yes. Right? It's the healthcare system is not perfect by any means, but it is a heck of a lot better than it was when my daughter was young.
Yeah.
And she's 19 now. She's in college.
Wow.
She's living in the dorms and she, brace yourself, she has a boyfriend. I'm going to die. I'm so, you know, when like your friend, you get that diagnosis and it's, you mourn because it feels like things are going to be taken away from your kid, but it doesn't have to be that way. If they get the help that they need as early as they can, it is possible to get all that back.
That's so incredible. I mean, it sounds like you're just changing lives every day.
It's really good. I do have to say that having even a broken healthcare system, having the support of the American healthcare system is helpful. You know, America leads the world in ABA therapy and autism treatment. We accept it faster, and the healthcare system, since the reform, does pay for everything, which took a huge burden off of families. You know, if you put your kid in daycare, that's $1,000 a month. That's expensive, but your health insurance pays $10,000 a month for ABA therapy.
Wow.
And the parents don't owe anything. And not only can they now go back to work again because they put their kid in a safe place and for 8 hours a day they can have their lives back, but the kids are learning more and can eventually, hopefully, integrate into society while the business is making good profit. If I have 25 kids, I'm making $250,000 a month in revenue. And so it costs the families nothing. So it's recession proof. If mom loses her job, Medicaid still foots the bill, and Medicaid pays just as much as Blue Cross Blue Shield or Aetna or all the commercial ones. So it really is a win-win for everybody involved. And you have to thank all of this healthcare reform for that. There are good things. All the bad things we see on the news, there are good things.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. You were going to make a point when I asked you about how old your daughter was, and I cut you off.
She started ABA, I think, when she was 2 years old. And the earlier you get the therapy, obviously the better the outcome, because their brains are little sponges. And so at 19, she's still autistic. You can still, the people who know what to look for know how to tell. She does throw adult tantrums, and she doesn't like to lose games, and she gets upset if things are too bright. I think it's so funny. I make fun of her all the time in a light way. But when things are too bright, she covers her ears. I'm like, you know, that's sound, right? You're getting it. She's like, no, it just makes me feel better to cover my ears. Okay, whatever you need.
Wow. Wow. Nicole, I know there's so many people who need to know about this, right? And who are struggling with this and just feel so lost and alone with their children. Because if you try to approach it from a regular, from what, you know, what you're supposed to, or the regular standpoint, you're not going to get anywhere. You're just going to be frustrated and feel abandoned by your whole culture.
That's right. That's right. You need the help.
Amazing. Amazing. So what would you say to somebody who, is dealing, like, their child that's just been diagnosed with autism, and they don't know what the next steps are, or supposing that there's not one of your SOS businesses nearby, who do you suggest they contact? What steps would you suggest that they take to get it started?
I mean, you would be in the same boat that I was, right? So you can either find an ABA clinic that's willing to accept your child, or you can just open your own. And I'm happy to help people do that. This is why we franchised the business. We're now spread across 20 states, but obviously that's less than half of all the states. And kids everywhere need this. The demand is high everywhere. We've opened clinics in the middle of the city, in rural suburbs. We've opened clinics in the middle of a cornfield, and all of them have a waiting list, and all of them are full. And so this is how big this is. So if your child needs therapy and can't get it, maybe it's time for you to do it yourself. And let me tell you, owning this business, you give your child the stability they need. You're helping other kids. You have financial stability. You can come and go as you want because you're the boss. And you have like 25 to 30 highly trained babysitters working for you. It's super great. Like, it just fits with that mama lifestyle. And it really is. It's a good work-life balance. It's a good family feel. And you're surrounded by people that you trust and can help. So it really, 25% of our franchisees currently are autism parents. So it's a huge group of us that, and probably because they recognize the need and they're like, hey, this is a good business model. If you don't even have to pay to market for clients, they just come or get referred. So a lot of our franchisees are mamas and daddies too. But some people just come from the corporate world. They were tired of typing at a computer and wanted to make a difference in the world. They wanted meaning in their lives as well as making a little money. So we get a lot of people from all IT, all kinds of different walks of life and different industries. And you don't need experience to start this when you join a franchise because they teach you everything. Everything will be new anyway.
That's amazing. Because you've done all the legwork and you know how to hire the people, you know how to structure the business, you know, all the legal stuff, right? This would be like people on both sides, right? Both of the business. Yeah. Wow. Fantastic. I am just so overwhelmed by everything you've said. I'm not even trying on any other questions.
Well, I do have a special gift for your listeners, if it's okay if I
offer. Yeah, of course. We'd love that.
So if you are an aspiring entrepreneur looking to open any kind of business with meaning, you can visit our website, sosfranchising.com. We have tons of videos, tons of information that you can read about. And if you contact us and you say that you heard about SOS through the Second Wind Women podcast, through Miss Karen here and all the good work that she's doing, we will buy you a round trip domestic ticket on Southwest Airlines to fly to Houston, spend a day with me at corporate office and get a tour of several of our local clinics here and see for yourself if it's something that you would like to do. And if it's great for you, wonderful. And if you decide it's not for you, that's okay. No strings attached, because it has to be something you feel in your heart. It can't just be just for the money. It's got to be for the mission too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that finding support and support that you trust when your child is so vulnerable and so sensitive is like the hardest thing. Yeah.
It really is. It really is.
Thank you so much, Nicole. That's amazing. Amazing. So your website is successonthespectrum.com, right?
Successonthespectrum.com is the actual clinics. You can find a franchising button on that website, but the actual franchise website is sosfranchising.com.
So awesome. Thank you so much. I'm blown away by all the information you've given me today. And I know our listeners, I know people are going to reach out and you're going to touch a lot of people. So thank you so much.
I hope so. And thank you so much for our listeners. Whatever platform you're listening on today, please leave this podcast a 5-star review for all the hard work that she does in finding guests like me, bringing you real information that maybe you would have never come across before. It's hard work. It's hard work to prepare. It's hard work to edit and finish up. And she deserves a nice 5-star glowing review from you guys.
Thank you so much, Nicole. I hope you have an awesome day.
Thank you. And goodbye, everyone.
Bye. Wow, that was so much fun. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. We'll see you next time on Second Wind Women. Let's make your second wind the strongest yet. Thanks.